This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. Welcome, dear viewers, to this series of talks on the journey to the hereafter. Insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, in these series of talks, I'll be tackling the most important question that every single one of us, the male amongst us, the female amongst us, the elder amongst us and the young one amongst us, the Muslim amongst us and the non-Muslim amongst us, must ask himself at least once in his life. And that question is, where are we headed? What will our end be? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a beautiful end? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a terrible end? And this is the most important question that a person must seek to answer with this life in this world. Inshallah, in these series of talks, I will tackle the issue of our death. I will tackle the issue of our life in the grave, about all the destruction that will happen to this earth whilst we are still unaware in the grave. I will also, inshallah, be talking about our resurrection when we rise up to meet our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment. I'll be talking about our intercession with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa when he will intercede for mankind on the Day of Judgment. I will also be talking about our hisab and our reckoning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our scale of deeds. I will also be talking about the pond of Rasulullah, the Hawd, which is his pond on the Day of Judgment, where we will meet him for the first time, inshallah. I will also be talking about the bridge upon which we will all have to walk towards either Jannah or to Jahannam. And inshallah, I will also talk about a detailed description of Jannah, about our first day in Jannah, and also the greatest pleasures of Jannah. And I will be also talking about Jahannam and the disgrace and the torment and the trials and the agony and punishment of Jahannam. I hope bi-idhnillah that you will accept this series with an open heart. You will pay attention to what is being said. You will benefit, inshallah, with an attentive ear to everything that is said, inshallah. And I hope that you will excuse me if I make any mistakes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this series beneficial, to increase our iman through it, inshallah. And with that, I hope that, inshallah, we can get along with the first part in our series, Value of This World in the Scale of the Hereafter. My beloved friends, there is an important question that we always need to ponder about. That question is, how valuable is this earth and this life truly to us? Without doubt, there are many things in this life that are extremely valuable. Alhamdulillah, how beautiful is the creation of Allah, the plants, the trees, the surrounding, the suns, the heavens and the earth, and subhanAllah, how beautiful they are truly. And also, subhanAllah, look at the mosques of Allah and places where good is done, such as, for example, orphanages, such as places where people are fed. How beautiful are these places, because they are truly places where people show their mercy and their humanity to others. And yet how miserable and how evil are the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disobeyed. Places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not remembered. Places where people create oppression against themselves and against humanity. When we talk about the value of this world in the scale of the hereafter, we are referring to this all-important question of this value, this life in general, in the scale of the hereafter. And truly, to illustrate this this question and this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a very beautiful example. In an authentic hadith in Bukhari, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing through the markets of Medina. At that point, in front of him was a dead carcass of a donkey that had passed away a few days ago. It was rotting. It had a repugnant smell was coming out of that dead carcass. There were flies buzzing around it. The donkey itself was not a pleasant sight. It was decaying, obviously, and it had very long ears, as the hadith mentioned. And so, in general, it was a very unpleasant sight. At that point, Rasulullah stopped, and he looked at the donkey, and then he looked at his companions, and he said, "O my companions, who amongst you will buy this donkey for one dirham?" And a dirham is one silver piece of coin. And the companions looked at the donkey and said, "Ya Rasulullah, we would not buy this donkey for a dirham." And then he said, "Well, who amongst you will actually buy this donkey for half a dirham, which is half of a piece of silver?" And the companions looked at the donkey and said, "Ya Rasulullah, we wouldn't buy the donkey even if it was for free." At that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, in whose hands is my soul? Truly, this world is more worthless. Truly, this world is more worthless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this donkey in your eyes." Subhanallah. This world is more worthless in the sight of Allah than this donkey, this dead, decaying donkey, and that is decomposing and a repugnant smell coming from it. Is this the true value of this world in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How valuable, my brothers and sisters in Islam, how valuable is this world in your eyes? How much time do you spend for this world? How much effort and time do you spend of your life in trying to secure happiness, secure wealth, large houses, more women, more children, more provisions, more cars, more enjoyment? How much time do you actually spend for these fleeting pleasures? When you can, inshallah, answer this question satisfactorily, that is the time when you can truly answer how much you love Allah. That is the time when you'll be truly happy with your worship. That is the time when you'll truly be able to answer how much you actually struggle for this deen. That is the time when you'll be actually content with the level of your sins. That is the time in which you'll actually be happy with the way that you are and where you are actually headed for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again and again in the Quran, numerous times, about the value of this world in the sight of the hereafter, in the scale of the hereafter. And he tells us, "I'lamu." He says what? "I'lamu, know, O mankind, annama al-hayatu dunya." Verily, the life of this world is what? La'ib, is actually play. Allah is saying this life that we actually lead is actually a game, a play. "Annama al-hayatu dunya la'ib wa lahu," and a fleeting pastime, "wazina," and attractions and beauty and distractions and playful pastimes, "walaibu walahu wazinatun wa tafakhurun," and bragging between yourselves. Bragging about what? Bragging about how much wealth you have, how much women you have, how great your nationality is, how great your country is. Bragging amongst yourselves, amongst each other. "Tafakhurun baynakum wa takathurun," and competing. "Takathurun baynakum fil amwali wal awlad," and competing amongst yourselves in having more and more wealth, more and having more and more children. "Takathurun fil amwali wal awlad kamathali ghaythin," and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a rain that falls and that it actually pleases the disbelievers. And Allah says, "kamathali ghaythin a'jaba al kuffar nabatuhu," and the example of a rain that falls from the sky, and that rain causes the crops to actually grow out of the ground, and that crop, when it grows out of the ground, people are actually pleased with that crop. However, of a surety, that crop one day dies away. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. At that point, when that crop grows out of the ground, people are pleased and amazed with it, but subhanAllah, very soon the crop dies away until it becomes nothing. Until it becomes destroyed and becomes nothing, dried out, shriveled piece of land. And this is the example of this earth. That subhanAllah, we are amazed with the fleeting pleasures of this earth, only to see it in a short while for it to go away and to be destroyed into nothing, subhanAllah. And this is the example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran of this earth. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. What a beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in this beautiful verse, He says, verily the fleeting pleasures of this life have been made attractive to mankind. And what are the fleeting pleasures Allah is talking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, from women, وَالْبَنِينَ, and from children, وَقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ, and heaps and mounds of gold and silver. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَيْرِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ, and beautiful horses with heavy brocade and decorations. Of course, that's horses in their time. But in our time, it's cars and beautiful modes of travel. And وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ, and cattle and livestock and farming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us how all of the pleasures and the provisions of this life have been made attractive to us. And then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed with Him is the hereafter, and the hereafter is the best of the homecoming. Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds in this amazing hadith, which is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily if this world were to be at least even worth the wing of a fly, and how worthless, how insignificant is a fly, and yet how insignificant is the wing of a fly. Yet Rasulullah said, were this world to be even worth in the sight of Allah like the wing of a fly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given a disbeliever a drink of water. What an amazing hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given even a drink of water to a disbeliever who does not believe in Allah, despite all of the provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, despite all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given them. Despite all of this, if they don't believe in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed if this world was worth anything at all, He would not have given them even a drink of water. Compare this to the hereafter, which is so valuable in the sight of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not even give them even a single drop of water. Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf that on the Day of Judgment, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ, verily the people of the fire will call out to the people of Jannah, of Paradise, and say, أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, please, O people of Jannah, please give us at least a drink or a sip of the water that Allah has given you, or something of the provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. And what are the people of Jannah going to reply? Allah says in the Quran, and the people of Jannah will say, they will say, إِنَّ اللَّهُ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, verily Allah has prohibited these two things, meaning water and any provisions for the disbelievers. الَّذِينَ غَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, those people who this world has deceived them and they have taken this life as a playful pastime. سُبْحَانَ خَالِقُ الْعَظِيمِ. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is this not enough of a reminder to show us how insignificant this life truly is in the sight of Allah? Then where are we? How do we value this life? How far are we truly away from the true value that this life should have in the scale of our true life of the hereafter? Dear viewers, now that we understand the value of this world in the scale of the hereafter, the next most important question that must be asked is, where are we headed? Do we think that we are actually headed for that Jannah of pleasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for His special guests? Or is it that we are headed for a terrible torment, an eternity of difficulty and agony? Well, in an amazing hadith, again in the Sahih of Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he got up on the minbar and he started to give a very emotional khutbah. And he was giving such an emotional khutbah that the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, that subhanAllah, it is almost like a khutbah that is towards the end of your life. And such an amazing khutbah. And in that khutbah, Rasulullah became so emotional that towards the end of the khutbah, he said, Wallahi, to the companions. He said, Wallahi, today you will not ask me about anything except that I'll tell you. Wallahi, you will not ask me about anything today, about any single thing that you ask me, except that I'll give you the answer for it. And so a companion from the companions of Rasulullah got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, where is my position in the hereafter? He said, where will I be in the hereafter? At that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fire. He said, the fire. What a shock. A companion of Rasulullah sallallahu, he's asking Rasulullah sallallahu, where will I be? And he said, this is in the fire. This is an authentic hadith where the Prophet is telling one of his companions that he will be in the fire. My beloved friends, do you think that your place in Jannah is guaranteed? Do you think just by merely being Muslim, the fact that you have been born into a Muslim family, the fact that you hope that you will say La ilaha illallah towards the end of your life, that perhaps that you're happy that you're just saying La ilaha illallah, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah will forgive all your sins? Do you think that you have guaranteed for yourself a place in Jannah? Look at this companion and how mighty and heavy and how lofty and how honorable is the position of a companion compared to us. And yet this companion was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indeed you are in the fire. It's a tremendous statement. Every one of us should be worried about where we are headed. A tremendously important point. Allah says in the Quran, and He warns us and He tells us again and again in the Quran, He says, wa in minkum illa wariduha kana dhalika hatman maqdiya. And this is something upon your Lord, hatman maqdiya, meaning this is something which Allah has obligated. Verily some of you are heading for it. Wa in minkum, and verily amongst you are those who are heading for the fire to walk over it. Who is Allah talking about? Allah is talking about groups amongst us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows that we are going to die in a bad way. About groups amongst us, people amongst us who will die upon disbelief. Groups amongst us and people amongst us who will be upon disobedience at the time of his death. And so my brother and sister in Islam, are you not worried that you might be of those people? This is why Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the imams of the past, used to ask this very amazing question. He used to ask his students and say, oh people, hal abkaka ilmullahi fik? Has ever the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about you, the knowledge of Allah that He knows whether you will die upon Islam or die upon disbelief, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He knows whether you will go to Jannah or Jahannam, has this knowledge ever made you cry? Has the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about you ever made you cry? Subhanallah. And here's another example of another imam from the past. His name was Malik bin Dinar. He used to get up in the middle of the night and he used to hold his beard in this manner. He used to pray to Allah tahajjud at night and he used to hold his beard in his hand and he used to say, Ya Allah, verily you know who will go to Jannah and who will go to Jahannam. Verily, O Allah, you know the people that you have created for paradise and the people that you have created for hell. O Allah, I beseech you, tell me, O Allah, which group am I from? He used to say, O Allah, tell me which group am I from? My beloved friends, wallahi, we don't know whether we are from the group of the people of paradise or from the group of the people of Jahannam. And wallahi, just by being Muslim, then that is not a guarantee. Does this not make you think about the hereafter? Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about where we are going. Truly, if you did that, inshallah, this would be a point for you and a phase for you to move on, inshallah, and be a better believer. So my beloved friends, this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about where we are headed, whether we are headed for Jannah or we are headed for Jahim, subhanAllah, should make us truly afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should truly make us ponder about whether we are actually doing that which is correct, what we should be doing. Now, is that really where we're headed? Or should we really be doing something else? Truly, a believer leads his life between fear and hope. And that which propels him forward is love. And this is exactly what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, that a believer leads his life like a bird. And if you remember, a bird has a body and it has two wings. So that which propels the believer forward is the love of Allah. And each wing, one of the wings of the bird is fear, and the other wing is hope. So every time you beat your wing in order to fly, the bird beats its wings. One of the wings is fear, and the other one is hope. So every time you have fear, you also have hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which propels you forward is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love of this religion, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful description of how a believer should lead his life. My beloved friends, sometimes it may be that you feel, and perhaps some of you, and all of us really go through this, sometimes we feel that our life is detached from Allah. Sometimes we feel that subhanAllah, Allah has forgotten us, that Allah doesn't care about us. Sometimes we look at all the difficulties or problems happening in our life, we become depressed, and in the state of spiritual depression, we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care. But subhanAllah khaliqul adheem, is that really the case? Don't we believe in a God that is waiting for us to come back to Him? And when we come back to Him, He will come to us faster than we can come to Him? Wallahi, it also happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. As we know from the seerah of Rasulullah, once for about 6 months, the revelation did not come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so at that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very restless. Has his Lord forgotten him? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooked him? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to dislike him? Does Allah now hate him? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became anxious at that point. After 6 months of no revelation, suddenly, a verse came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a surah, a beautiful surah which many of you recite in the Quran, came down. What's this? What's that surah? That surah is Wadduha, by the morning daylight. Wadduha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, by the morning daylight. Wallayli idha saja, and by the night as it envelops. And then Allah says what? Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Muhammad, and O people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and O people, Allah has not forgotten you, nor does He hate you. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. My friends, Allah has not forgotten you. Allah has not forgotten you. He knows you. He remembers you. And He does not hate you. He is waiting for you to turn back to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting patiently for you to come back to Him. Allah is hoping and waiting that perhaps His slave will realize the reality of the affairs and come back to his Creator. And it is for this reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said in that beautiful hadith in Bukhari, he said, "Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a. Wa man kariha liqa'a Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'a." He who loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And he who dislikes meeting Allah, Allah dislikes meeting him. Are you of those people who are anxiously waiting to meet Allah because you love Allah? You are waiting to see Him, waiting to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahi, of course we are. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to us and more loving and more kind to us than our own parents. It is for this reason why Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he said in that beautiful narration, what an amazing narration. It gives me a chill in my soul when I think about this narration. He said in that beautiful narration, Wallahi, he told his students, Wallahi, I do not wish that on the day of judgment my parents judge over me. Rather, I wish that Allah judges over me. I would not replace Allah for my parents on the day of judgment. Why? Because I know Allah loves me more and is more merciful to me than my own parents. Allahu Akbar. This is the realization in the heart that we must have, that truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, He is merciful to us, He wants us to come back. Then what is stopping you? Come back to the deen, come back to practicing Islam, come back to worshipping Allah through your heart, through your tongue and on your limbs. So my beloved friends, now is the time to act. Now is the time to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now is the time to start praying. Now is the time to start fasting. Now is the time to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Fafirru ila Allah. Fafirru, run away from Allah to Allah. Run away from Allah's punishment, from His justice to His mercy and His forgiveness. My beloved friends, do not be like the people who say, inshallah, you know what, towards the end of my life, I'll start practicing. Towards the end of my life, I'll start putting on the hijab. This is ignorance. This is falsehood. This is the deception of the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to practice now. And this is the right time. There is never a right time. Now is the time. Because what is certain is that you will die. What is uncertain is whether you will live. My beloved friends, inshallah, join me as we take this series of steps and these episodes, inshallah, as we take the journey to the hereafter. In the next episode, inshallah, we'll be talking about the spectacle of death and the last moments of our life, inshallah. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu.
ويسلم فيها الحبيب الحليم أو المرأة تعجبه نفسه.